is Phil Henry Shaw at El Pacifico.
Yes, this is Margaret Gray, along with General Galen Shaw and Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard and Phil Henry. All right?
Very good, yeah.
Well, I'm being delicate because I know on Saturday you went to a memorial for your brother.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a bummer to start things off.
And a bummer. Phil went out to it, didn't you, Phil?
Yeah, I did, and I...
How was that, Mr. Henry? What was that like?
No, but...
Don't be insensitive.
Wait, hold on.
It was, what do you mean, what was it like? It was sad, but it was nice. It was a Veterans Day, it was a Veterans Weekend Memorial, and we went and paid our respects to my brother Darrell, but I played taps there, yeah.
Well, that is extremely moving.
Yes, taps is one of the most evocative, you know, the way the whole thing goes.
But what is that?
You've never heard taps.
No, that's the name of the song, right?
It's not exactly a song.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a song. It goes,
oh, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah.
Well, it's very evocative, don't you think?
Well, I know what you mean by evocative, but if you mean it's very emotional.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of the way you're doing it, though.
Not the way.
The way I'm doing it, I'm playing mouth, you know.
You're playing the mouth trumpet.
What do you mean, mouth trumpet? I don't like the way he says that.
Hold on.
You know what it is, but...
Well, now you're making it worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Get out of here, will you? If you don't know it, don't be disrespectful, man.
I'm not being disrespectful.
Yeah, he is, Mr. Henry. He's being disrespectful.
You are too, both of you clowns.
Look at this. Before anybody pisses me off, taps is what they play on the bugle, you know?
Oh. That's the one that you don't have to squeeze any...
What do you mean, squeeze any?
That's just one, you know, not pushing valves?
No, the bugle, you just play straight. I don't know how they do it, man. I'll tell you, the great bugle players are something else.
Well, you know, if you ever saw the film From Here to Eternity, Margaret, you...
Oh, my God, yes. The great Fred Zinnemann classic with the Montgomery Clift.
Yes, well, Montgomery Clift plays an army guy. They want him to box, but he blinded a guy or killed a guy when they boxed. So instead...
How you blind a guy when they box?
I'm gonna kick. Hey, come on! Ow! Yeah. How do you like that? That's how you take a guy's nose off.
All right.
As I was saying.
Sorry.
In the movie, Montgomery Clift.
Montgomery Clift.
Montgomery Clift plays a guy who's a boxer, but then he says, "To hell with that! I'm gonna be a bugler," and he becomes the best damn bugler. This side of Bugle City, I don't know. Yeah, and I don't really give a damn. You know, I used to like the movie. Now I hate it.
Wait a minute. That's exactly right, though.
Yes. It's a character, the character played by Montgomery Clift.
That's the guy's name?
No, bud, that's not his name. That's the town he's from. Yes, his name.
All right. Mr. Henry, you got to understand something.
But...
No. Hold the phone for a minute.
Yeah. You know, Mr. Henry, this is important.
Yeah. Just because I'm not your age, and I don't understand a lot of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff is way out there.
What's way out there about knowing what a bugle is?
Well, maybe not that, you know, but this guy, Mr. Clift?
Yeah, what's that?
He was an actor. He was in a famous movie. It was a big movie. And even before you guys were born, there were big movies. So, okay.
So that's...
Yes, and it was a great film. And he played a man who was a boxer, didn't want to box anymore. Instead, he wanted to play the bugle.
Yes, and there's a wonderful scene where he plays the bugle for Maggio, which is his best friend, and he got his ass kicked, and he was thrown out of a truck or something.
Well, I mean, he snuck out of the prison.
Yes, that's it. He snuck out of the prison.
What do you mean he's in a prison?
He's like the brig? Yes, he was in the brig. He was in the military stockade is where he was. And don't do it, bud.
Well...
Bud, why don't you shut up and listen?
You've got this look on your face like you got 9 million questions.
I just want to know what do you...
Let me see that. Is that your nose?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah, that's right. He was in the military stockade, and he played a bugle. No, he wasn't in this.
You know, he played for Maggio, who escaped from the military stockade after Fatso beat him up.
Fatso. Sorry.
Yes, Fatso beat him up, and then he... Why are we talking about this?
I don't know, man. I was just mentioning the bugle player at... my brother's memorial. So that was very nice. And I, what the hell did I do yesterday, man? I did nothing yesterday. This whole weekend was just like a blank. It was, like I say, it was an emotional weekend. I hope everybody's going to survive. You know, the whole country's like flipping its lid.
Yeah, everyone's flipping out on the whole election of Donald Trump. You said something very interesting, though, that I think it bears repeating.
Yeah, he's talking about Mr. Trump looking tired.
Well, I mean, I saw a picture of Donald Trump, and this is very nonpartisan now. This is kind of... you know, almost a human thing that happened to me. I saw him, and it was a side shot of him, and he looked tired already.
Well, he's going to get a lot more tired.
Well, wait. I mean, what I'm saying is, I got this look on his face. I had sympathy for him, because he hasn't even started the job yet, and yet he already looks tired. And I thought it looked the reason why I said to the guys, I thought it looked presidential because. Of all the pictures you see of presidents that generally evoke some sense of sympathy in us, it's when they have that look of fatigue, you know, on their faces.
Well, if he's tired now, how do you think he's going to feel in a year?
He better start taking his vitamins.
I don't know, but I mean, you know, he's a 70-year-old man. I'm not saying that that's anything bad, but I would just tell you this. When I saw that look on his face, I had a little bit of sympathy for the guy, and there was no politics or anything like that involved.
Yeah, so he's kind of softening up.
Yeah, but so you softening up on anything?
It's not about softening up or anything. I'm just saying, you know, when you look at that job, the President of the United States, we were just talking about it, Eisenhower.
Well, those guys, the guys you brought up, Eisenhower, Truman, and you even brought up that guy Hoover, Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, well, Herbert Hoover was still alive when I was in school.
Herbert, who, is that the guy that...
You don't even know who it is, bud, okay?
Yeah, I'm just taking a guess.
But when you say, is that the guy, what?
Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me, who was Herbert Hoover?
Was he in the Revolutionary War?
Yes. When I was in the seventh grade, he was still alive from the Revolutionary War.
Oh,
what a moron!
What?
Herbert Hoover was the president before Roosevelt, just before the Depression. And
well, no wonder the guy's still alive. It killed Roosevelt, but Hoover escaped with his rear end intact.
Yeah, he got away with his rear end intact. Oh, he got away with his rear end intact, did he?
Could you guys just be quiet for a minute? So Hoover lived until I was like in the seventh grade, a little bit, yeah. And then Truman was around until I was in high school. I mean, out of high school. Truman lived until 1972, and then Eisenhower lived until like my senior year, 1969. So that's kind of unusual for those old guys because when I say old guys, the old timers, because that job will kill you.
Well, you know, Ronald Reagan was very affected by it, whether it was the presidency or not. Ronald Reagan came down with Alzheimer's.
No, he caught it.
No, he didn't catch. I'm going to kick your...
Hey, Buttfeld!
You do that on purpose, aren't you?
Wait, I'm saying he caught it.
You don't catch the Alzheimer's, Jack Paul.
You're the guy who said that you thought Hoover had a three-cornered hat.
Sit down, both of you idiots. Hoover had a three-cornered hat. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. I want to mention that before we get into our traffic, today on the show, we're going to be talking with Ted. We're going to be actually talking with Chef Carl Cedilia, and he's making Chef Carl.
Yes, no, it's Steak Carl. He's Chef Carl.
I'm sorry, yes, Steak Carl.
Yeah, he'll be making Steak Carl as his recipe today. Also, big discussions on the program today with Ted Bell, Chris Norton, and Jeff Dowder of Poutine, which was something that was brought up during the chat on Friday night.
What is poutine, if you don't mind me asking?
Nah.
Knock it off, man.
You said it sounded dirty.
I'll say it sounds dirty. What is it?
It's nothing dirty. It is French fries. It's mashed French fries, basically. And it's very popular in the upper Midwest. And it's a football, I guess what they do. They have a traditional meal.
A lot of teams eat it before their big games, yeah. In the Midwest, Wisconsin, places like that. That's poutine. And then we have it As You'd Like to Hear Them.
Yes, we have it As You'd Like to Hear Them with Ivanka Trump, the young, the daughter of Donald Trump. Let's find out what her whole take is on this whole baloney today on the program.
All right, so with that in mind, let's check it out, man, out there on the highways and byways with Bob Bacon. Bob?
I tell you right now, they're out there freewheeling up there, wrapping around until about 5 o'clock this afternoon. You fly to change, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. You come down the highway there, about the interchange, Bob, right, see what they talk about, that barn. If you got a bon, good by saying about 5 o'clock there at Dodger Stadium as well. Go to the Sky Boy.
Hey, Bob, I got a pot moving, and it looks like it's going to be back to New York afternoon. It's on the foothill freeway of Herndon, and a Guernsey cow is coming on down, and come on down to Trump, and she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Go to Boyd Sky Baby Sweet Tin.
I thought about that. That was a daddy. I thought about go-go-go. I thought about the go-go. Go-go-go-do-do. I thought about the go-go and the do-do.
Uh-oh, doo-doo. Change of a dollar.
This is Margaret Gray for the Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass, the one-year subscription. We've got a great deal on for those of you that do not yet have your BSP. If you purchase a one-year subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, you'll get all of our best-of downloads for free. That's a $150 value, but we'll drop it in your lap. We'll drop it all over you, almost as if a bucket of whatever has fallen on you. Well, you get the idea. It is the BSP. It is the BSP.
It's the BSP for the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Is this Michael Jackson?
No, it's a reasonable facsimile of it.
What does that mean, a reasonable facsimile of it?
In other words, it isn't Michael Jackson.
Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show Backstage Pass for 1 year. Get a one-year subscription and get all of our downloads free. That's the best of 1994, 95 through 2007, and the best of 2015. Do it now.
It's a thriller to hear. The Phil Henry Show for solid year, and you get all the downloads for free. Thriller.
All right, Margaret, we get it.
World famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. You're paralyzed.
Ow. You went butch.
This Christmas, think of Ripley when she was out there on the alien craft and she didn't have any way getting back until they found her out there on the frontier. How is she going to get her Christmas shopping done? Hi, everyone. Boyd Hesby here of Hesby's Emporium. Every kind of Christmas gift you could possibly imagine. You're not out drifting in space. You're not out there on the edge of the frontier with an alien been blown to hell and back out there floating around just around the capsule that you're in. You're at home. You're here. You're safe. And you're looking at stuff at Frisbee's Emporium. I'll tell you, we've got it all. I go shopping in all of the countries of the world. I go to the four corners of the earth and then back again, looking for that kind of rare gift that only you and you and you and all of you out there will understand and appreciate. I go for the unusual. I go for that which is the exotic thing. I'm Boyd Ripley. Come to my Emporium. I call it an Emporium. That's right. You thought I meant Emporium. No, an Emporium. Why do I call it that? To be different. To be me. To be out there. To be one with you. And you with me. And me with one. All for one and one for all. Boyd Ripley Emporiums. Boyd Ripley, Boyd Ripley Emporiums. For this Christmas. For the unusual and the exotic thing. I enjoy that which is unusual and exotic. And I think you will too when you come to Boyd Ripley's. Boyd Ripley's. Boyd Wimpsum's. Shit. Don't be some snowflake lost in space. Come to Boyd Ripley Bipley Hipley Bipley Ripley's Emporium.
Got a platinum album with no solo tour. Niggas say it's
world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. General Galen Shaw here with you, and here is once again Phil Henry. Thank you very much, General. Hi, everybody. Welcome back here. So, Margaret, we have Chef Carl Cedilliano coming up.
Well, Chef Cedilliano, he's going to be talking. The thing that I'm looking forward to is, and I said this, is the steak, Carl. I don't know what you guys are talking about when you talk about this poutine, but steak. Chef Carl is with us, and a very good day to you, Chef Carl. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Well, now I am excited about I'm excited about the prospect of making some steak, Carl, here, and not poutine. Do you know what poutine is?
Yes, I know what poutine. Poutine is a. It's a French fry that is then mashed into mashed French fries. The title, the name, is what puts a lot of people off, because I have said, and I've gone to cooking expos, I've gone to cooking expeditions, and I've gone on cooking expeditions, and I've told people...
Now, what do you mean a cooking expedition?
Well, I mean, you go traveling... In almost the great wilds of food, it's you go traveling from town to town, from state to state, and you, in order to get into the mood, you put on a pith helmet, you put on a Ramar of the Jungle box on your head. It's a fun thing. It's a little ridiculous.
You literally do all those things.
Well, you pretend as if you're in an old 19th century expedition into the darkest, deepest parts of Africa. I say darkest. What I meant to say is...
Yeah, that's a little on the racial side now.
I understand that, Phil. Forgive me. But you go in, you hire some guys to carry boxes on their heads, and what you're trying to do...
What do you mean you hire guys? Talking about black guys?
No, Robert, it doesn't have to be. It makes it more realistic if it is a black guy, but no, it doesn't have to be.
Well, what is the point of this?
I'd like to be able to spit out what it is I want to say.
Give the man a chance.
I'm saying that I go on a dark Africa, Ted. Hey, Phil, it's Ted Bell. I know this is my segment. What he does, if you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead.
What he does, and Chef Chidilli wants to get his steak curl together here so he can give you the recipe. What he does is it is an annual expedition. They call it the Chef's Expedition into the deepest parts of the dark jungle. They don't use the word dark. That's my... And they go into the jungle of food that is America. And in order to give themselves the feel that they're actually on an expedition and going into the jungle-like atmosphere that meets every chef at one time or another in this country, they put on the Ramar of the Jungle, you know, outfit.
What do you mean Ramar of the Jungle, though? I mean, Mr. Aaron, we don't know what that means.
All right. Ramar of the Jungle was he was an old-timey TV show character. He was a doctor, right, Phil?
Ramar of the Jungle was typical of the Western hunter.
Right. Ramar, although he wasn't a hunter, the Ramar was a doctor, and that's what made the show interesting. Ramar of the Jungle was actually a doctor helping people, but he had the same thing. They had guys with boxes on their heads and all of that.
But what do you mean guys with boxes on their heads? I mean...
The stuff that you carry into the jungle with you. I don't know. I don't do it. I wouldn't know how to go into a jungle, you know. Thank you. All right, so here's Chef Chidilia. Thank you very much, sir. Phil, I apologize. I just wanted to make sure that my marinade was good.
All right, let's get off of the expedition. Well, it's something that I wouldn't mind going on sometime.
Yeah, you give away tickets for that.
No, my boy. I'm afraid we don't do that. That is strictly a professional outing that myself, I can mention some of the other cooks and chefs, that guy, the guy that everybody's just raving about these days.
Which guy is that?
You know, the southern guy, whatever the hell his name is.
Oh, yeah. It's Guy Fieri.
Yes, yeah, Guy Fieri. He goes with us, and a lot of people. And we go on the expedition, and we look at stuff, and we got boxes. I mean, I don't know how many different ways I can explain it.
I don't want to beat this into the ground, but I do think it's a little unusual what all of that has to do with cooking.
We want to feel like we're on an expedition.
Well, all right, and you're on an airplane. What jungles do you visit?
You don't have to visit a jungle. You know.
What's your problem?
My problem is I'm trying to get to this...
I just heard the F word there, Phil.
Everybody calm down, all right?
Yeah, sir, I just heard that.
I didn't say... If you heard that, then you've got Superman's hearing. You must have super hearing. Okay?
Superman didn't have super hearing.
Oh, my God, this guy...
Get off of Superman and what he could do.
Well, hold on. Superman did have super hearing. Because I saw it on an episode.
No, Superman had supervision, super seeing, and...
You mean he had powerful eyeballs, right? What did they call that, Phil?
X-ray vision.
No, they didn't, they...
Wait. Superman had X-ray vision, but he could also see a long way. Yeah, yeah.
Well, what did they call that?
They called it powerful eyeballs or something. I don't know what they called it, Superman vision. But I saw an episode where he could hear... Like, I'm saying this to be, I'm not trying to be funny, but he could literally hear a mouse cut one, you know.
Like a mouse fart?
Yeah, he could hear a mouse fart blocks away.
What good is that going to do?
I'm sorry?
What good is that?
I don't know what good it is. I'm just telling you.
Why are we talking about Superman?
Because Superman, I have no idea, you know.
Dad, I've lost track of this too.
Will you guys be quiet and let Chef Chidilli.
All right, so what I have here is, never mind about the expedition. I'm so sorry I brought it up. But for those of us that are chefs, it's a lot of fun.
Well, I would like to sit down and interview you about it at some point.
That's fine. We can do that till the cows come home. Or in Bud, this in your case, until the one cow comes home.
Well, that's the way I understand. That's how it came down to me.
Yeah, that's how it came down to you. Jesus, get a load of this guy. Where are we, okay? Because I gotta use the fear. Tie it up the phone. Is Phil still there? Yeah, I'm on the air right now. So, Phil, you take... What kind of steak do you like, Phil?
What kind of steak do I like? I like, I love a sirloin steak. I like a porterhouse.
Porterhouse is beautiful, but let's go with sirloin because sirloin's a little bit more manageable. And, you know, a lot of people, when they talk about what kind of steak do you like, what about you, Chef? I mean, what's your name, General Shaw?
Yeah, my name's General Jesus.
Well, I thought it was Chef Shaw.
What do you mean, Chef Shaw? You're the chef.
All right, you don't have to say that like I'm, hey, boy, come out of the kitchen and,
I'm not saying that, but I'm an Army general. You don't want to eat my cooking, and that's for sure.
Ben, I bet you that's bad.
What? Well, I think that's a little insulting.
All right, so...
Anyway, General, what kind of steak do you like?
What kind of steak do I... I've always loved the Kansas Cities, the porterhouses, and so forth. I've also enjoyed the T-bones.
The porterhouse is wonderful, and the T-bone, what would we do with a porterhouse? And, Margaret, do you like steak?
I don't really eat steak. When I did eat steak, I loved the very small... Well, I named my son after the Delmonico steak. Frank and I would often eat at Delmonico's in New York.
All right, that's fine. I would love to hear more, but...
So I would say the Delmonico.
All right, and, but what kind of steak do you like?
What kind of steak do I like? I like steak. What's Mr. Henry, what's the kind that had all the fat in it?
Ribeye.
Yeah. That's the one. Is that the one I liked?
Yes, you like ribeye, and you do too, Robert.
Yeah.
All right, ribeye. All right, so we would take these, and you get a Tupperware, a large Tupperware bowl of some kind.
Do you have those steaks there right now?
No, I'm pretending like, let's say we have your ribeye. So what we do, and I don't have all the other steaks, and I don't want to go into a big song and a dance.
I got to use the phone.
I'm going to be done in a minute, Ted, okay?
Still in the air?
Yes!
Look, I'm sorry, Chef Chidelia.
Well, it's okay. He came over to break my ball.
And we need to watch the language since we are live.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm sorry.
I got to use the phone. What do you mean break the ball? Come over here breaking my ball. Well, I can tell you.
Would you guys not talk off the air and talk to me?
Oh, sorry. Rudy Canoza is here. Rudy, you know, this is a Latin. I'm going to do steak Carl, okay? You want to say that again, please? I'm going to do steak Carl.
Ah, the steak ranchero.
Yeah, no, not steak ranchero, steak Carl. Steak Carl.
What?
I will tell you, let me see. Hello, Phil, how are you doing?
Hi, Rudy.
I love to have, when people say to me, what kind of steak do you like? I tell them, I like the kind of steak that gives me a steak in the future of this country.
Yay, big deal.
Give me the phone. Well, I mean, all right, so,
What's wrong with that? That sounded very...
Oh, excuse me, I'm in the phone.
What's wrong with that? That sounded very nice.
Yeah, that was just... That was great. All right, so...
Let's move on now.
Right. So you take the steak, and...
Are you on the phone?
What do I look like I'm doing?
I don't know.
I'm on the phone. Excuse me, Phil.
Can I talk to him, please?
Come on, Phil, this is where we waste time.
Yes, Phil, we've got to get... We have Ivanka Trump. We have a lot to do today.
Never mind.
You don't want to talk to Ted?
Yeah, Phil.
Would you please, if you don't mind, Ted, quit bothering him?
Who?
Chef Chidelia. He's trying to do the recipe every time you walk by.
I just need the phone, that's all. You got a cell phone?
None of your business.
All right, Phil, so I guess nobody around here has a cell phone, you know.
Yeah, ask him to borrow someone's cell phone.
To borrow a cell phone? What? Why'd you borrow Rudy's cell phone?
Never mind, man.
All right, sorry. So now we take this steak and we put it in this plastic bin. And now begins the process of marinating. Now, you want to have a beautiful marinade. And the marinade, of course, is very, very important because this is what you're going to be soaking the steak. You're going to be drenching the steak with the deliciousness of the marinade. And I'm here to tell you, Phil, there is nothing on God's good green earth that is more delicious than this Chef Carl Chidelia, the Steak Carl marinade. Now, what we do is take an entire vat of salsa. You get one of these bowls of salsa or whatever the hell, you know.
Yeah, you buy it at the store?
Yeah, get one of those.
Well, it's more like it's like a little container.
Yeah, it's like a little Tupperware container.
Yeah.
So get that, dump that into the Tupperware. Then get a beer. Pour the beer in there.
Well, this sounds like Baja steak.
God damn it. What's wrong?
Okay, you know, Chef, we...
What do you mean, you know, Chef?
And I understand. General, please.
I'm just telling you, just please.
God, I'm trying to do something for me, okay? This is called Steak Carl, not Baja Steak, not Ranchero Steak. Steak Carl!
That's unacceptable.
I'm sorry. Let me have the phone. I'm sorry. Give me the phone. Phil, he's wired for sound. This guy is way out there.
I'll be okay.
Yeah, Phil, this is Rudy. Are you okay?
Yes, I'll be okay. What is this all of a sudden, an intervention?
Come on, let's finish this.
I don't know. It's up to you.
You take the vat, you take the steak, you stick it in that, you soak it in the beer and the salsa, okay? And then you cook it, and then you eat it, and you take, and then throw it up. If you've got any decency left in you, you throw it up. This is Chef Carl Chedeliak.
Chef, that sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Chef Carl Chedeliak and a recipe with the chef. Today, Steak Carl. Made in a vat. That's my understanding.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
All right.
And this is Cook Bell. And don't forget to show the tins of Beverly Hills. And this is Rudy Canosa. My segment. I'm Chef Carl Chedeliak. Have some steak, Carl. Some steak. Have steak, Carl. Fuck me.
All right.
Turn that crap down, will you? Steady crack. That's a new Americone.
Who gives a JC? We'll be right back. Turn it down, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Bosco Sampson is the guy. You go there, you will fly. Bosco Sampson Flying Lessons. Bosco Sampson has 61 years as a regular mail carrier, cargo pilot, and in the war as well. Bosco Sampson will teach you how to fly within minutes of you arriving at the airstrip. Bosco Sampson, here's why. He will teach you how to fly. Why you should respect him. Bosco Sampson deserves your respect. Nay, he deserves your love. He deserves your adoration. Why? Because he's going to teach you to fly, Jack, for the first time in your life. Think of it.
All you need is the airplane.
Bosco Sampson Flying Lessons. 5th and Corona in Norwalk. 16th and 17th at the airstrip in Gladiola. And now he's in the valley. Where in the valley? You gotta find him.
And you provide the airplane.
Bosco Sampson. Bosco Sampson, he can fly. Someday he will tell you why. Maybe he took flying lessons. Bosco Sampson in the valley. In the valley of the jolly ho ho ho. Bosco Sampson, huh?
Sweet Farm has a special offer for you now. Get our regular 30-day coupon, and we will keep your relative, your loved one, stored while you go on vacation for the time of your life. At Sweet Farm, your relative will be stored in a very safe environment where there's a television, a radio, snacks, and all that. Yes, Sweet Farm, it's a place for you, all of you out there. Once you lose your mind, you never mind.
Sweet Farm, lose your mind, and who will mind?
Won't be me, that's for sure.
And it won't be me, that's for goddamn sure. Excuse my French. Sweet Farm, be there. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So don't forget, like I said, this week, as we were attempting to announce, this week we have a special on.
Yeah, so gonna get a year subscription. You get the free downloads from the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's right. Every year subscription that we sell, you get $150 worth of free downloads, and these are all of our best of downloads from '94 on from our website. All right, we like I said, we had a lot to do today. We just got Chef Carl Chedeliak packed away there. Sorry about that, Chef. Wherever you are.
Well, you know, he called back and he said that he felt really abused.
Yeah, it's good. Say that.
What's his problem?
Well, he just felt that the entire segment was out of hand.
Well, then he should talk to Ted Bell about that.
No, he understands that, Phil. He does. He's not blaming you, but he was wondering if he could come back on.
Yeah, he can come back on, but I mean...
Well, I don't know, man. I'm going to have to open up a whole slot and everything.
Oh, get out of here. Open up a whole slot. You got nothing but time.
All right, well, that makes it sound like we don't have any guests.
Well, you don't have any guests, for Christ's sake. You're making all of us up.
That's true. Go ahead and... Give them a call back.
They'll come back and pencil them in for the 21st.
Yeah, you do that, man. Pencil them in for the 21st. Chef Carl Chedeliak. So what does he want to do? He wants to do the...
Well, he wants to do a new recipe. He doesn't want to do Steak Carl because he feels that Steak Carl, it was too pedestrian. What he needed was something more, far more sophisticated. And so I think he wants to do a flambé this time. Very exciting.
Oh, Jesus, the flambé.
What's that?
A flambé is where they light it on fire.
You haven't ever seen that? Oh, they light the food on fire.
Yes. The flambé is when they take your meal and...
What do you mean your meal?
Your meal for... All right, take it easy. They take your meal and they set it on fire and then they jam it down your throat.
They do?
They would if it was me as the waiter and you were the customer.
All right. Yay.
Okay, so that having been said, thank you very much. Chris Norton's going to join us now from... I think he's at the Rusty Pelican in... Hermosa Beach, California. Let's talk with Chris here about poutine. Now, how Chris Norton, and we didn't talk to Ted Bell about that, did we? Are you there, Chris?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know.
Well, you should have gotten Ted back on the phone then. Call Ted back so we can do the poutine thing.
What?
Call Ted back so we can do the poutine thing.
Hey, man, call Ted Bell, man. Well, I was asked by Mr. Bell to help with the poutine, and I'm very, very, you know, excited about that, Mr. Henry. Right now, I'm at Rusty Pelican. I'm roped off until 10:30. If there are any women who want to come by and say hello to me, we will take a look at you, and if you are, good enough and everything.
You know, the way you put that, Chris, is so offensive.
I'm not trying to be offensive, Ms. Gray. You and I have had our discussion about this. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just saying I want to get it said straight up. If they're good enough, they can make it through the rope. If they're not good enough, then what we do is we send them off an alternate. There's an alternate lane that goes down to where the Gorgonzola burger specials are.
That means just a girl that comes to see you and you send it out for Gorgonzola?
What did you say, man?
I said a girl that comes... Man, I know I'm making myself clear.
Yeah, I think I understand. You said a girl that comes to see me and I send her sailing down for Gorgonzola.
But is that what you do?
Well, I mean, what we do is it's like a consolation prize.
Oh, I see. So if they don't get to talk with the great Chris Norton, they get a Gorgonzola burger.
Yes, I mean, that's what they feature here. Every Monday at the Rusty Pelican, they feature. Okay, and they're featuring the Gorgonzola, you know, so I'm just...
All right, what about the poutine?
Ted Bell.
All right, hold on.
Oh, poutine.
Hold on. Ted Bell is going to join us here on the Phil Hendry Show. And let's talk with Ted here about this. First, Ted, I have Chris Norton here.
All right, Chris, how you doing?
Yes, sir, I'm good, Mr. Bell.
Yeah, Phil, all right, poutine... Poutine is something that I decided to bring Chris Norton in on because it has, I think, something about it smacks of something illicit. So I want to bridge the gap between the reality of poutine, which is that it is a marvelous French fry, kind of a mashed French fry dish, and what's in the, to be honest with you, the filthy minds of...
There are a lot of people in this area saying poutine. Yeah.
Even the way that Norton says that. So what we're doing?
Yes, he says it in a way that makes me disgusted.
Well, that's right. I mean,
hold on, I got it, Norton.
My name's Chris.
All right, I got it, Chris. Hold on. The way that Chris Norton says poutine gives it a salacious and almost vulgar intonation or implication. So what we're doing is we're saying, okay, you think it's that, but what it really is, and then we'll shift over to Jeff Dowder.
Jeff Dowder in a...
What do you mean, Chef Dowder?
I mean, Jeff Dowder in a bullpen.
Oh, he's in the bullpen, is he? Okay. Jeez. All right, so...
What about poutine? So you got it on the menu.
Yeah, we have it on the menu, and we are going to start serving it. We have it on the menu now, but we're going to have a big... We're going to put the bag on, the feed bag on for poutine coming up this Friday to celebrate the weekend's football games as it's Poutine in 17 from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And you were supposed to cue the...
I'm sorry. Sorry, Mr. Bell. I didn't know... I knew that you wanted me to do the poutine at 17 at...
Hold on. Yeah. Poutine and 17 from Ted to Beverly Hills. You're going to love the hell out of it. Hi, everybody. This is Ted Bell, and it's Poutine and 17 at Ted's of Beverly Hills. You're going to love the hell out of it. I already said all that stuff.
I'm sorry. I didn't hit it on time.
Yeah, you didn't hit it on time, all right. Oh, all right. Well, so anyway, I don't really give a hot...
Can I make a point, Mr. Bell?
What's that?
Can I make a point?
Yeah, go ahead.
Poutine in 17, I think, is going to be fantastic because what Mr. Bell is attempting to do, Mr. Henry, is to introduce poutine, you know, and...
Yes.
Well, the poutine up to this point has only been food that has been eaten by Midwestern football players and people like that. But to introduce poutine to a sophisticated West Coast audience... And I've got a lot of people coming out for it. We're putting the poutine feed on. My sister are going to be here. And a lot of people from people that I used to work with at SSSM 5, which is that nightclub I used to own.
You owned a nightclub?
Well, it wasn't really a nightclub. It was like more like a it was more like a garage where we played music, and then they let me use the garage, you know.
All right. So that what was it called?
Exorcism 5.
Exorcism 5.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people are going to be here for it, and I think and a lot of people are going to be in Martha's Press, too.
Have you finished that movie?
Not yet, but we're very close to it. Blast Off with Martha's Press. And but Blast Off is part of it. Look, excuse me, Fred. Don't go off about your movies. No one cares, okay? I think they do, sir. All right, but today they care about the poutine. So anyway, in conjunction with Blast Off, Mars Express, it's poutine or bust this coming weekend.
It's poutine or bust this coming weekend. Okay.
Right.
All right. Now, Jeff Dowder is joining us from Temple City. You guys are cousins, by the way, Jeff. And by the way, Jeff, it's great to have you with us here. You guys are cousins, right?
It's really great to be with you, Mr. Henry. Yeah, we are.
He's my media cousin.
Yeah, I got it, man.
God damn.
I got it, man. Yes, Mr. Henry, we are.
Jeff, by the way, I was watching a movie today. They thanked the sheriff of Temple City, California, in their technical notes. A movie called 7-Eleven Ocean Drive. Ever heard of it?
No.
All right.
Wait, bring that up for us.
I just thought it was funny. I mean, it was this old movie.
What's it called, Mr. Henry?
7-Eleven Ocean Drive.
7-Eleven?
Not the store. 7-Eleven is the actual address.
Well, anyway, Mr. Henry, if you wanted to talk, you want to go poutine or...
Can I say one thing I forgot about? Something.
God damn, man.
I forgot about something.
What?
I forgot, Mr. Henry, that we're doing a movie that is going to be adult film-oriented called Poutine. T-E-E-N.
God damn.
No. It's not what you think, man. It's not what you think. It's going to be spelled P-O-U, but then T-E-E-N.
Well, people are going to think it's some kind of a filthy scatological...
Well, no. But it's not going to be that way. It's just going to be... and they're not going to be teens. They're going to be... Well, they'll be teens, but they're old enough teens, like 18. That's going to be called Poutine. And, you know, the Poutine generation, something like that.
Sounds pretty good, man. It started production, right?
No, we haven't started production yet.
All right, Jeff, getting over to you. I know that Ted Bell contacted you and Chris about helping him promote. This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Is Ted there?
Mr. Bell.
Well, he's that.
Yeah, Phil.
So why these two guys?
Who?
Chris Norton and Jeff Dowder.
Because Norton makes everything sound filthy, and Dowder cleans it up, okay?
I think that in his own way, he's trying to make a commentary on me that I don't think is all that positive.
Look, all I know is he's paying, you know, and
that's the point right there.
Okay, so you guys are getting paid for the... So what about it, Jeff?
What about what?
What about this poutine?
Oh, well... Poutine is a football staple, and I think that a lot of people need to understand it. When the football players of the Midwest were gotten together to do their pre-game meal, many of them go poutine. Because if you go poutine, you go all the way, you know? And a lot of them said, make mine poutine. When I brought that up to Mr. Bell, he said it sounded good, but it sounded a little too wholesome. And he said he wanted to, funk it up, was the word that he used, and that's what my cousin Chris was calling in.
And I said to him, well, what's it about? He goes, I want to promote poutine for my Friday night happy hour. And I go, it's the poutine? And he goes, oh, God, you know, I love it, man.
Yeah, Mr. Bell.
How does Mr. Is he listening to this?
Yeah, Phil, by the way, what Chris just said there is absolutely true. The way Chris Norton says poutine, say it again. I said to say it again.
Poutine.
God damn, man, that does sound, it sounds great, doesn't it, Phil? So what I wanted to do is take it from the absolutely obscene and defunk it right on up to Jeff Dowder.
All right, Jeff, so where do you come in with all of this bull crap? Because...
What is that supposed to mean?
What does this do? Is this trying to... Are you selling it?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go into your restaurant and eat poutine because Chris Norton's got a porn movie named after it.
What do you mean a porn movie? I have a movie coming out called Poutine.
You what?
I have a movie coming out called Poutine. P-O-U-T-E-E-N.
What the... Why?
Never mind. I mean, Mr. Bell...
Never mind, man. I'll talk...
Yeah, it sounds like he's not digging that.
Well,
you know what, Mr. Aaron, my job is not only saying, hey, you know, I've got a beautiful product here, it's called poutine. It's also selling the poutine. And if you want to say poutine, you know who came up with poutine in 17?
You?
No, Mr. Bell did. But...
Well, what difference does it make then?
It's the way that I say it.
All right, so you say poutine real sexy.
I say poutine in a urban manner.
All right, so anyway, make a long story short, Toby Bo's been brought in on this one, too.
What a stoner, man.
Yeah. Toby's been brought in on this one, too, Mr. Henry, and what we're going to do... is be at Ted's in Beverly Hills this Friday night if you want to meet me, Jeff Norton, and Toby Bo, who is my friend and has been my associate in a number of different business ventures.
Yeah. You guys are stoners, man.
Hey, man, I'm not butting into you.
Thank you.
So
let's be polite with each other.
So I'm going to be at Ted's in Beverly Hills on Friday night. We're going to be in a prime rib room for their happy hour. And we're going to be dishing up the poutine. And let me tell you what, it's going to be off the hook. Toby Bo's going to be there.
Yeah, you already said that, man.
And
okay, guys.
Yeah, you heard what the man said.
I'm just saying, man, you already said that.
Yeah, I know I said it. It's going to be off the hook. I said that, too. At Ted's of Beverly Hills, and it's coming up this Friday night. Myself, Jeff Downer, Toby Bo, Skip McLean. Dr. Isaac Willemson, Crip Newton, and his sister, Isaiah.
And his... what is his sister's name?
His sister's name is Isaiah. It's a girl, but it's got a guy's name.
What do you mean, it's a girl? She's a girl?
Yeah, she's a girl. We're all going to be at Ted's of Beverly Hills on Friday night in the prime rib room for poutine and 17 as we put the feed bag on. And it's going to be full-on poutine. And I think what's going to be cool about it, Mr. Ernie, is we're bringing this out to the West Coast, and it's football weekend. It's just going to be bitching.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of football coming up. You know, a lot of the high school games are, you know, they're wrapping up, you know. And then there's also a lot of college games are going to be wrapping up too, Mr. Ernie. So, but you know, for me, Chris Norton, they asked me if I would go out to the poutine kickoff, and I said, I can't because I'm due to be here at Rusty Pelican on Friday night for my regular roped-off session.
Why can't you forego one night?
What is it with you? If they have a promotion for you, Norton, why don't you go out to it?
Because the Friday night's the biggest night behind the rope. Oh, are you serious, man? I'm not going to... Blow a Friday night.
Not gonna blow a Friday night.
Yeah, that's so funny, man. I'm not gonna blow a Friday night, you know, to go out to you know, promote poutine.
It's Ted Bell here, Phil.
Yeah, Ted.
Let me ask you, Chris, because I was listening in the office. When you say that you're not gonna blow a Friday night to come out and promote poutine, who will you blow? Oh,
what a prick.
All right, Mr. Ernie, this is Jeff Downer. I'm going to sign off now.
I don't know how to sign off.
Hey, man, don't tell me.
Wait, Jeff, just one more thing. So we'll see you out there and Toby Bo, but not Chris.
No, Chris is not going to be there.
I'm not going to be there because Friday night is, like I say, they roped me.
All right, thanks a lot. That's Chris Norton, Jeff Downer. Jeff, we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. We'll see you at Ted's of Beverly Hills Friday night for Poutine and 17.
Yeah, it's going to be off the hook. It's going to be Toby Bo.
Yeah, off the hook.
And it's going to be, well, I mean, you know, if you keep interrupting, I'll just say it again. It's going to be off the hook.
Yeah, it's going to be Toby Bo.
You keep interrupting. It's going to be off the Toby. It's going to be Bo Hook.
It's going to be Toby Bo.
Yeah, it's going to be Toby Bo and Toby Hook. And it's going to be off of the Toby.
See, you blow it, man, when you say it too many times.
It's going to be Toby Bo and it'll be off the hook. Is that what you're saying?
What does that mean, off the hook?
It means it's going to be radical. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
So, hope to see everybody out there, and I hope to see everybody out there.
Yeah, okay, man. That sounds out of sight. Thank you very much for that, Chris. And we'll see you cats there on Friday night, which is, God, what night is that? That's the...
Yeah, it's going to be the 19th. You know, I think you'll enjoy it. And like I said, we'll all be there. It's going to be off the hook.
All right, thank you.
You hung up on him.
Did I really hang up on him? Jeez, thanks, bud. I didn't know that I hit that button that hung up on him.
You know, these guys, and why Bell is using those two numbskulls, wow.
All right, well, you know, the funny thing about poutine is it looks good.
I haven't seen poutine in years. You know, you should get on the air someday to talk about that is Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, because Steve is from Wisconsin, and I think he grew up on poutine. I won't go near it for obvious reasons. It sounds disgusting. It sounds vile. You know, it's just one of those things.
Well, Margaret, you know, it only sounds disgusting in your mind alone.
General, don't make it seem like when I say poutine, you don't think of...
Think of what?
Well, it sounds like somebody going to the bathroom.
Oh, Jesus.
You didn't have to bring that up. We're going to be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. As You Like to Hear Them. It's time this week for another As You Like to Hear Them interview, and it's Ivanka Trump.
That is right. Ivanka Trump will join us here in just a few moments on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, As You Like to Hear Her.
If you make a nigga nervous.
Anybody got any poutine we can do?
But this shit is deeper than the surface.
Hello, I'm Miller Kershaw, running for the first constabulary of Glendale. The constabulary of Glendale is a police officer position where you stand on a corner and you swing a nightstick and you have one of those big top hats and you look like something out of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. That's what I do, that's what I want to do, and that's what I have done. I will not be contested, nobody else is running for the seat, but if I get enough votes, they'll let me do it. Vote for Miller Kershaw, first constabulary of Glendale. He'll wear one of those big hats with a nightstick like something out of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Right.
Train,
yeah,
train.
Baby. Hey, there's Elvis again.
Rolling down the track. See, I told you about that 16 coaches long.
Yeah. Train, and it's a funeral train.
Yes, Phil, it's a funeral train. Come on.
Well, Margaret, you haven't established that at all.
All right, hold on. We're not going to get into that. We're going to get into instead something a bit more, I would say, traditional, something that we do quite a bit here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
As You Like to Hear Them, a weekly interview feature, sometimes weekly, sometimes, you know, monthly, we don't know, featuring newsmakers and celebrities in the news where they have to tell the truth. They must answer honestly the questions of us here on As You Like to Hear Them.
And our guest today, Ivanka Trump, the eldest child, or is it the eldest child? Or
I think Ivanka is the second oldest child.
The second oldest child of Donald Trump and Ivana Trump of New York City. And let's bring her on the line right now. Ivanka, hello, it's Margaret Gray.
Hello, Margaret. Nice to talk to you.
It's wonderful to talk to you. Ivanka, what heady days these are for your father, who has been now elected President of the United States of America. And the latest that we've heard, as of today, that you and your brothers, that would be Eric and Donald Jr., are being considered for cabinet positions, correct?
I don't know. When they said cabinet position, I sort of gagged up a little bit. I was having a tuna fish sandwich, and my father came in and said, "What do you think about Secretary of blah, blah, Labor or something?" And I remember gagging on the tuna, and I said, "Hold on for a minute," and I didn't want him to be embarrassed. And he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I gagged up on that lousy chicken of the sea," and he said, "Oh, okay."
But in fact, you were gagging up on the job offer.
I was, yeah, because the first thing that struck me about it was it seemed wrong.
Well, what does that say about your father?
I'm sorry?
What would you say, Ivanka, that says about your father?
Well, I think he's enthusiastic. Well, actually, if this is as you'd like to hear him, I got to tell the truth.
Yeah, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, you're supposed to.
I think it says my father is not very good at picking out people to be in the cabinet.
Well, your father's a longtime successful businessman, so we have been told, and so we trust that he is. Why wouldn't he not know who is fully qualified for any kind of enterprise that he is organizing?
I that's a good question. I would say that he is. I like to think that he is. But if he's offering me a job as Secretary of Energy or whatever the hell...
Well, what was the job?
I don't know. It was a cabinet post of some kind. But then I went over here to the Encyclopedia, looked at the cabinet post, what they are. There was commerce. There was state. There was defense. And these are jobs I don't know, you know, and my brothers sure don't. So you asked me the question, what does that say about my dad? Either he was joking, which he does sometimes, or he doesn't really know what he's doing. And
but what? Well, how does that make you feel as the daughter of Donald Trump, who has now been elected president? He doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, what does that? How do you reconcile that?
Well, I mean, look, my father's never been president of the United States. I'm not saying he's not a quick learner. I think he is. But I think at this particular point he could use some help, because if he's offering me a job, especially if he's offering Eric a job, and I love Eric, he's my brother, but no one can do that. No responsible human being can offer my brother Eric a job, in my opinion, anywhere, but particularly in the cabinet of the United States president. You know.
Wait! You're saying you no one should offer your brother a job at all?
Now, my brother Eric is a good guy and he's a hardworking guy, but he's. He's a real oddball, and I don't think he's been able to cover that up. We told him 2 months ago. We said you gotta turn it down. You gotta dial it down a notch. And if you've ever heard Eric, he has kind of a voice like that. So he goes, "What are you talking about?" And I said to him, "I said, look, Eric, I'm your sister. You don't have to believe me, because being the son of Donald Trump, you are going to have certain opinions about women." So why don't you listen to Donald Jr.? And he did. Donald Jr. said to him, "You know, I wouldn't dress you up as an Indian and stick you out in front of a cigarette stand. It's not going to happen."
All right. So in other words, you guys just don't like your brother Eric.
I love my brother. What are you talking about? I love my brother.
Well, you're saying he shouldn't have a job anywhere.
I don't mean not have a job anywhere. Can't give him a job as in the whatever you call it.
In the cabinet.
Yeah.
This is General Shaw. Ivanka, how are you?
I'm good, General. Thank you.
Now, you know, and we alluded to this, your father got in some problems there, the way he was talking about women. And let me tell you something else. I saw him as you walked out on stage. Many people have turned it into a meme, as he touched the sides of your hips, and it looked just a little bit inappropriate. Do you care to comment?
No, you want me to be honest, right?
Yes.
I would say that it made me feel uncomfortable, but I would also say that you're some kind of a douchebag for asking that question.
Well, now, wait.
But you wanted me to ask you, you'd tell you the truth, right?
All right, we withdraw it.
Yeah.
Wait a second, you called me a douchebag, huh?
Yeah, I'm calling you a douchebag. That's a very rude question. How did I feel about him touching, almost touching my ass? Not that great, but then again, my father's 70, and... this is entirely possible. I didn't ask him, but it's entirely possible that his eyesight's failing, and he reaches down to... He thought he was holding me by the waist, and he puts his hands on my ass.
To be fair, he did not do that.
What?
He didn't put his hands on your ass. It was on your hips.
All right, yeah, on my hips. And maybe he thought he was touching my waist.
Well, what do you think about all of the stuff that he was recorded as saying?
I think that it's pretty disgusting and pretty vile. Because I have to tell you the truth. I know I said different to the public that my father's not a groper. The honest answer is I don't know, especially after hearing something like that. And then also hearing about a lot of these women coming forward after the fact, you put two and two together, and what do you get?
Yeah, what do you get?
You get two plus two. That's what you get.
But what is that?
Two plus two. Get ready for this.
Okay, General, we you're making the point. No, I'm not. What is two plus two?
I said, when you put two and two together, what do you got?
Yes, what do you got?
You got... Are you asking me what two plus two equals?
Yes.
No, that's not... The point is, you put two and two together, and you're going to come up with the answer, okay?
Do you know what two plus two is?
Yes, I know what 2 plus 2 is.
Well, what is it?
I'm not going to answer that question. That's insulting as hell.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
That's insulting as hell if you'd ask me a question like that.
In other words, you don't know what 2 plus 2 is.
Yes, I do. See, here's the thing. Because I'm the daughter of Donald Trump, you think I'm an idiot. Isn't that right?
Well, now, wait a minute.
No, you think I'm an idiot because I'm the daughter of Donald Trump.
Well, I think that's what they think.
Let me tell you something. I may not have any morals. I may not see things morally properly. I may not see things honestly, but I do have brains. Now, as it turns out, I have brains, but I also see things morally. So I'm forced to sort of cover up a lot of stuff.
All right, Ivanka, let me ask some. And I'll ask you what you mean by covering up things.
When I see something that gives me the creeps that my old man did, I can't be honest about it. I have to say, oh, yeah, it's all good.
So you do admit... that in the time that he did it,
Who is this, Dickman?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about you, Dickman. How you doing?
Good, Miss Trump. So you do admit that when he put his hands on your butt.
No, we're not talking about that anymore, man.
We're not talking about that, bud.
We're talking about this whole the comments that he made on the tape. The honest answer is I wanted to throw my guts up, and I really didn't want to talk to him. But what I did say to him is I said, you know, you are some kind of a piece of garbage, you know.
You didn't say that to your own father.
Yeah, I did. I'm an adult woman. And I said, I'll back you up in public, but in private, I get to call you garbage boy every morning.
What does that mean?
Now, what does that mean? At breakfast and stuff?
Every morning when we walk in, I get to say, hey, how you doing, garbage boy? And it pisses him off, you know.
Your own father. You're talking about Donald Trump.
Yes, yes. That was the deal I made with him. I said, I'm going to back you up publicly. I'll say that you're not a groper. I'll say that it's locker room talk. I'll say that it's blown out of proportion. But in private, with the family, and I get to say it with Donald and Eric present, I get to say, hey, how you doing, boy? And some mornings I'll say, hey, garbage boy, what's up? So that is, that's my payment.
So you get to humiliate your father in front of the family?
Yeah, yeah.
By calling him garbage boy?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound like that big of a deal.
Oh, really? You want to, really? Have you ever called Donald Trump garbage boy?
Well, no.
All right. I'm telling you that every day I do it, I think it's going to be my last day breathing on Earth. It's so much fun, but it's also dangerous. So, and I walk in for breakfast and say, "Oh, good morning, Ivanka. Good morning, boy." And my eyes linger on his for a while, and he looks at me. I can see it tenses him up, and he wants to reach out and just smack me.
But speaking of that, did he spank you when you were a kid?
I don't remember. It couldn't have been that frequent. I don't remember him spanking me. No. If he did use any kind of corporal punishment, it wasn't that significant. I don't remember it at all.
All right, Ivanka, we're talking to Ivanka Trump here on As You Like to Hear Them, and we're just going to take a couple of more minutes. This is always one of the longest segments we do. I want to get back to this whole thing about calling him boy. You're saying...
And then let's move on.
All right, but you're saying when you say that to him, he looks like he wants to belt you.
Well, I shouldn't say that, but again, this is something he's got to do. It's a bet that we made, and it's an agreement that we came under. And so when I say, hey, boy...
Can you call him that anytime you want?
Anytime. Well, yeah, but not in public.
Yeah, not in front of other people?
No, just in front of me, Eric, and Donald Jr. But, and again, it's my way of saying, okay, you know, I'll believe that you're not a groper, and I'll accept your answer about, you know, grabbing, yeah, blankety blank, but I get to say, hey, garbage boy. So a lot of times at breakfast, I'll say, hey, garbage boy, can I have the, salt? And sometimes his eyes will not meet mine. He'll just pass the salt, chewing his food, and he's looking at the paper. And then I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, garbage boy. I also need the germs and jelly, you know. And
sounds like it's amusing you.
Well, it is kind of. And then I'll get that. I'll say, oh, one more thing, boy. May I have...
Does he ever lose his temper?
Yeah, a couple times. He'll say, you know, you're really overdoing it. I say, hey. I say, hey, boy, that wasn't our agreement.
You know, to me, that sounds like the way he reacts might be a lot of fun.
It's fun, but like I said, I don't know when he's going to kick my ass or something.
All right, we're talking to Ivanka Trump. Question, Bud.
Yeah, Ms. Trump, my name's Bud Dickman. How do you do?
How do you do, Bud?
I wanted to ask you about your business. Everybody says, and Mr. Henry and I were talking today, everybody says you're a really great businesswoman and everything like that, but they're going to put you in a cabinet or in the transition team. So what are you going to do with your business and everything?
Well, Bud, thank you for that question, because it's another one that I have to answer honestly. And the answer is I'm not that great of a businesswoman. If I were, my business interests, my individual business interests as they pertain to clothing, to makeup, that kind of crap, quite frankly, I'd be involved in. But I'm more involved in my father's business because I don't really have much of a business of my own. And that is because I've never really developed a business of my own. My dad has guided me every step of the way. It's been his working capital. It's been his advice. He has a piece of everything that I do. It's really impossible to be a Trump and to have a business and not have the old man with his mud hooks in it. If you'll pardon the expression, I say that with great affection.
All right, so if it was breakfast time at the Trump house and you came in to eat breakfast and you wanted to ask him, you wanted to say to him, for instance, hey, Dad, I don't really want you involved in my business, how would you put it?
Well, first of all, I would never say that.
Well, let's say you did.
Yeah.
All right, I would come in and I'd say, hey, boy, yeah, boy, listen,
You don't affect it like that, do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I got to get my money's worth out of this, okay? Because it's not often you get to do it. So I understand. He said all this stuff on the tape, and he's telling me, you know, he never does. Okay, great. But I get to call you boy. So I would say, hey, boy, oh, boy.
Come on. You don't say that.
Yes, I do. And I say, hey, boy. Hey, boy, I don't want your mud hooks in on my business. How do you feel about that? Garbage boy.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'd believe that when I see it. Too bad I'll never be able to see it. You can't sneak a camera into there or a recording, can you?
No, unfortunately I can't. But trust me when I tell you, man. I'm not going to lie to you about this stuff, okay?
You say, how you do it?
I go, I try to rub it in. I'll go, boy! And
okay, Ivanka, thank you very much. I knew that it sounded, I think you're pulling my leg.
No, I'm not. I swear to God, I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you're yanking my tree, or you're doing something with either my chain or my tree, you know.
I swear to God, I'm not.
Ivanka Trump, folks.
I believe her. I do.
You believe that she goes, "Hey, boy."
Oh yes, I do. I believe her, and I think as long as it's in front of the family members, that's what Donald Trump allows it, because it's not going to be embarrassing beyond that. Now, the fact that we've had her on, as you like to hear them, and she's telling the truth, and it's going out into the greater world, we'll have to find out about later.
Yeah, what if he beats her up?
I doubt, seriously.
Don't make that assumption, okay?
Yeah, listen, if he beats her up.
Don't make that assumption. All right, sports fans, thanks so much for being with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show for this Monday. We'll see you tomorrow as we continue inexorably toward the end of this year.
World-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
And don't forget to get a one-year subscription to the Phil Henry website and get the free downloads, too.
Oh, my God.